Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Well, coming up after the race, we'll have Michelin post-race tech. Hashtag Michelin PRT. Have your say. Put your point forward. That GTD battle, Jeremy, is still keeping me interested here. Yeah. This is going to go down to the wire, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so. The number 63 car, we don't expect to see that onto pit lane for quite some time yet. That's going to maintain its advantage now. But it will still need another pit stop before the end of the race for sure. Currently leads by, what, about 4 seconds over Jan Halen. So that gap has actually extended a little bit over the course of the last half a dozen laps or so, just a little bit. 10 seconds further back in third position now then is Lawson Aschenbach, who's managed to get past Mario Farnbacher. I guess he must have done that 4 or 5 laps, just 2 or 3 laps ago, I think. Not quite sure. He's now pulled away from Farnbacher. But for Farnbacher, at this stage, he's got the championship pretty much in the bag, so he won't worry about losing the odd position here and there.
When you say pretty much in the bag, Jeremy.
Yes. What I mean by that is he came in here, he came in here with a 7-point edge over the Porsche of car number 16. Currently, that car is in second position. So if it finishes second, then the number 86 car needs to finish in the sixth position.
They're on pit lane now in the 86 car for what will be their final stop. They can just about do an hour, so that should be fine for the Acura NSX. What a nice way for Mishank Racing to go out of the GTD class. They'll be running an Acura prototype next year. Now, the question is, when does Jan Halen stop in the 16? Yeah, he's due in any time now as well. And then it's up to the Scuderia Corsa Ferrari when they come in. They don't have to come in right now, but they might choose, as I said, to cover off what's going on behind them.
That's right, John. I think you're absolutely right. But I think now with 56 minutes remaining, I think the number 23, but certainly the number 86 car, didn't need to come in this soon, I don't think. It'd only been a 20 lap stint from number 86 car, so they know they can get to the end from here, come in and make that stop, and then if there's a full course caution before the leaders come in, they're looking good at the front of the field. And the number 23 car was in 1 lap before that, as you were talking about, so I think they could probably make it to the end as well. And we're just gonna have to wait and see now. Here is number 63 car into the pits to cover off that move.
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, and a 16 as well.
And it'll be a new set of tyres as well, Shay, for those. They'll have saved a brand new set of Michelins to go on for the run to the checkered flag.
Aha, and they did listen to me. They're putting Jeff Westphal back into the 63 Scuderia Corsa Ferrari just to make sure that drive time is safe for both of their drivers at the end of this race. And fuel and tires for the Ferrari. We've seen this story before where Jeff Westphal finishes an endurance race for the Ferrari. That was Petit Le Mans, and they came away with the victory. Also into the pit lane was Jan Halen in the Wright Motorsport Porsche. That driver's side door is open too. So I believe that's Patrick Long getting in for the final stint. And the 74 Riley Technology Mercedes also into the pit lane. Austin Aschenbach, though, I don't think he's getting out of that seat. I think he did find the super glue as well, John.
Also saw a one-eyed Porsche in the pit lane. That was Earl Bamber in the 912 in from third position and out in the GT Le Mans category. Here's Aschenbach in the pit lane in the 74 Riley Motorsports car, shape.
And did he stay aboard? Yes. So fuel and tires for Patrick Long, Jeff Westfall, Lawson Aschenbach, and then, of course, the lap before was Mario Farnbacher.
So Patrick Long now leading the motor race. They've managed to jump the Ferrari, I think, in the pit lane. Let me check them out on the circuit. And rather annoyingly, they're in a bunch of cars, so I can't spot them on the tracker. But I think Pat Long is ahead of the Ferrari. Also into the pit lane, Conor De Filippi from the lead in GT Le Mans. And that's going to be getting close to their final pit stop as well, Shea.
Yes, and that will be Conor De Filippi staying aboard that car until the end of this race. He got pole position here a couple of years ago, but still hasn't tasted that sweet victory of Sebring International Raceway. Perfect stop by Bobby Rahal's boys and girls, and the BMW rumbles back down.
Take it all back. The Ferrari is coming through Jean de Bian down to turn 16 at Le Mans now. And has a couple of corners on Pat Long, who has about six or seven cars lengths on the number 74 of Lawson Aschenbach.
Yeah, there's about 4 seconds between them, John, when they came in for their pit stops.
And I would say there's all of that now, Jeremy. Actually, might even have slightly improved their position.
Probably has.
Yeah,
because the number 16 car had been in five laps prior to the number 63 on the previous round of pit stops, so the number 16 car would have needed more fuel than the Ferrari. Yep.
Exactly so, Jeremy. Exactly so. So, as you pointed out, the 63, in fact, probably none of those guys really needed to come in terms of the fuel light being on. So, that was a choice. In and out for Ricky Taylor in the Champions Elect 7 car. They'll need one more stop before the end. They're going to be about 5 minutes short, maybe a little bit more in that car. Oh, actually, not a bit more than that, because they do just under 40 minutes, don't they? So they're about 10, 12 minutes short on that car. So there'll be one final run down the pit lane for Ricky Taylor, wearing his Acura Team Penske race suit. Keep an eye then on that battle. Westfall has 11.5 seconds. 11.5 seconds on Pat Long, who's got a second on Lawson Aschenbach. So if it wasn't hard enough for Pat to need to chase down a Ferrari, he's also got to keep a very quick Mercedes-AMG GT3 behind him. Then there's another 8 seconds back to the championship leading 86 Acura NSX of Mario Farnbacher. He's got 4 seconds, and this could be important. He's got 4 seconds on the Heart of Racing Aston Martin, Roman De Angelis, who'll be in full attack mode, trying to catch him up. They've got some points in hand at the 86 Mayer-Shank Racing Acura, but they can't afford to be complacent, Jeremy, in the last 50 minutes.
You cannot know, because a blink of an eye and something could go wrong. And you're constantly lapping cars in the lead car. You've got a comfortable lead right now, but that's sometimes no easier than if you've got somebody right on your tail. Because if you know you've got somebody on your tail, you're concentrating on that. But if you think you're in the clear, then it's easy for your concentration to kind of slip away a bit. At least for me and Morton. I don't think he's being more driving these cars right now.
No, indeed not. And Lawson Aschenbach has just made life a lot easier for the Acura leading the championship, because he's just gone through into second place ahead of Pat Long into turn 17. The Porsche just going a little bit wide on the bumps, and Aschenbach taking the inside, the Renger van der Zander line, and squaring off the corner. Pat get a little bit deep into that. Yeah, I think he did. And meantime, Ollie Gavin has brought the Corvette Racing into the pits for what should be the last time for that car and for that driver in IMSA, as far as Ollie's Corvette career is concerned.
I think it went back behind the wall, though, John. I think I heard the rumble of the Corvette going back to the garage. That might be day done for the number four.
No, he's gone out. Sean has gone out of the pit lane on my timing screen.
What was the Corvette that I heard?
Jordan Taylor is in the pits.
Might have been the Lexus, the number 12. It was definitely a deep guttural sound. Someone went back to the garage, I can tell you that.
Ollie Gavin is definitely moving. He's down by turn 7. Let's see if the number 3 comes out of the pits for Jordan Taylor. Yes, he does. But T-Bell in the Vassar Sullivan Lexus has pitted. So, yeah, that's a V8 as well. Meantime, Lawson Aschenbach is on full attack mode. 12.2 seconds behind Jeff Westfall. That's what he's got to make up in the last 48 and a half minutes.
Number 86 Acura has come out about 8 or 9 seconds behind Patrick Long in number 16 car. So the number 86 for my Shank Racing with Kerbag Ajanian, the 86 Acura is placed where it needs to be. The Ferrari, having taken on a lot less fuel, number 16 car, has extended his lead, as you suggested, John, now to about 11 or 12 seconds. Patrick Long's slipped back a little bit since being overtaken there. He is about 8 seconds ahead of Mario Farnbacher. Only 2 or 3 seconds behind Farnbacher, however, is Roman De Angelis, who I think a lap or two ago turned that car's best lap of the race.
He certainly did, and he got within about a second and a half, but he's just caught a wee bit of traffic, has Roman, and had to get out of it a little bit. But that car is quick, and he took 8/10 of a second out of Mario Farnbacher last time around. Now, that said, there's still a bit of leeway here for Meyer Shank Racing in that 86 car. They don't have to finish behind Pat Long. De Angelis, I think, could, if my rudimentary arithmetic is correct, could still go through and they would still have the championship. What would be getting a little bit squeaky is if Pat Long starts to get close again to the front two cars, as that Porsche seems to be better at the end of its stint rather than the beginning of it. And particularly if Pat Long got to the lead, of course, then that really would be game on. 46 and a half minutes to go. Final stop for Brian Sellers in the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini Huracan. I think they'll be pretty pleased with themselves, Jeremy. They've tried a couple of different strategy plays to get the Michelin Enduro Cup points, as we mentioned in the Porsche Keys to the Race. Didn't quite work for them at the 4 hour, but it was spot on. My goodness, it couldn't have been any closer for them though in the 8 hour mark, and they will take the Michelin Endurance Cup provisionally, as we will say unofficially, the GTD.
Yeah, completely agree with you there, but certainly, you know, I think having won at the Rolex 24 Daytona early in the season, they would love to win this race as well. And that strategy decision they made very early on, I think, ended up being pretty costly in terms of his overall positions, perhaps. But you know, maybe they just haven't quite had the pace of some of the other contenders in the race, even the other Lamborghinis, perhaps. But you know, it's still, as you say, you know, the goal coming into this race, the best case scenario is to win the race and the Michelin Endurance Cup. But the primary goal was to clinch that Michelin Endurance Cup. So that they have done, and they're quite committed as well. So hats off to Paul Miller.
WWOJ 99.1 FM around Sebring and Central Florida in North America, Sirius 202 and XM 217. This is IMSA Radio, and the home on the World Wide Web for our global No Blocks, No Breaks broadcasts is RS2, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels, radio-show.co.uk or via imsa.com. Every hour of every day, IMSA content on RS2. And we're into the run to the flag now for the end of the 2020 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship season and the 68th Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advanced Auto Parts. Still the side-by-side action going on down the back straight. And that was Mario Farnbacher and Roman De Angelis, I think, side-by-side. The Aston and one of those, dives into the pits. And that will be who then? It was the two Porsches that were side-by-side. Nick Tandy pits from the lead of GTLM. Nick, who was very forceful early on with the bump and run. I think it's going to benefit them as they are a little bit out of kilter. The Stripes and Stars 9-11. That incident not even looked at by race control. Definitely contact that gave him a position, although he lost it two corners later. But maybe, and again, just playing devil's advocate, maybe that was the reasoning behind that, but don't know. So Tandy stays in the car there and gets fuelled to the end of the race. The green marker lights within the headlights coming out of the pit lane.
And then he's going to hand the advantage back to number 25 car. Yeah. BMW, I think, will regain the lead now. And two Porsches, that'll be second and third. And get up about half a minute between the second of the Porsches and the second of the BMWs.
And as far as the fuel loads are concerned, Conor De Filippi has been out for 10 minutes. And we've got 42 minutes left. So we've seen those cars do 55, 56 minutes. We're waiting for the 24 car to make its last stop. It's due in any time now. So Jesse Cron will have to come in again. And that will mean that the two Porsches are fairly comfortable. Felipe and Bamba were just a lap apart on their pit stops. So that's the race right there. And that's 33 seconds, as Jeremy mentioned. So that's comfortable, I think, for Rahal Letterman Lanigan. Best wishes to Bobby Rahal, who was recuperating from a little bit of back surgery in the last few weeks. Hello to Piers Phillips as well, the man at the head of the racing operations of RLL. Hope all well with you and the family, Piers. Decent season for BMW, given the Corvettes a bit of a run in the middle of the season, Jeremy. Porsches, they'll be disappointed. Had the pace, certainly had the pace throughout the season, but haven't had the results to back it up.
Yeah, not until the last couple of races. When they did emerge victorious, and you would have, could have, should have done here perhaps as well. So it's certainly been a good strong end to the campaign for the Porsche GT team. They're going to be missed next year, no doubt about it. But it's pretty impressive that all six full season cars in GTLM won this one race.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not just the three manufacturers. Actually, all six of the cars. So both cars from each of the manufacturers have won a race this season in GTLM. They are very technical cars, of course, and a lot going on with those. And, again, kudos to IMSA and the technical team for crunching the numbers on that, the huge amount of data that are collected independently with independent sensors on these cars from IMSA. I tell you what, Jeremy, you know, when we were talking about coming back to racing, I'm wondering what sort of entry we would get. I said at the time, I thought if we got anything more than 25 cars at the races, we'd be doing very well indeed. And we've done at least that for all the races since July, and that is an excellent amount of commitment from the teams in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship paddock. We'll discuss that, I'm sure, in Michelin Post Race Tech, hashtag Michelin PRT to IMSA at IMSA Radio. Lead car in for what will now be its last pit stop. Shea Adam.
Fuel and tires for Oliver Jarvis. Last pit stop for the 77 Mazda crew. How many have they done today, you might be asking? Well, 17 previous trips down the pit lane. So that is a lot during the 12-hour contest. Quick clean of the front of that Mazda. Just make sure there's nothing slowing it down. Waiting on fuel. Fuel nozzle comes out. Away goes the Mazda. 30 seconds stationary. You could not ask for a better stop.
And that should get that car with its VP Racing fuel to the end of the race. And comes back out again on the track.
Covered any if there is a full course caution now, the number 77 car is good to go. So yeah, they were not going to risk getting caught out by a safety car in the ladder stages. As soon as they are confident they can get to the end, come in, make the final pit stop, fill it up with fuel, off you go, Oliver Jarvis.
Harry Tinknell still to make his final stop in the sister car. For him to come down the 17th time. Dane Cameron will be coming in as well for his final stop shortly. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us in the last 40 minutes of the season. So, Michelin countdown to green. We spoke about the Porsche keys to the race. Be there in the dark. Well, the Mazdas have certainly done that as the number 55 car comes in for its final pit stop. Fairly standard chase. That one's going on down in the pit lane.
Very, very straightforward. I was just quiet because at the end of the stop, right when the work had ended, the car started doing that little creeping forward thing that the Mazdas have been known to do. They're not actually engaged in gear, but the cars themselves just want to get going so badly that they do inch forward ever so slightly. I wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be a penalty. But also into the pit lane, the number 10, Konica-Nolte Cadillac, Ranker Van de Zand is staying aboard for a triple stint in this one. Fuel and tires, nozzle goes out, and Ranker has just a second getting back going once again.
I'm going to throw this in. We saw some chatting going on earlier on behind the Wayne Taylor Racing Cadillac pit. And it was between WTR personnel. It was thrown into the melting pot earlier on by one of our Twitterverse and the collective at IMSA Radio. In front of the number 10, albeit with laps in front of them, we have the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac and the 5 Mustang Sampling Cadillac. They're 3 laps ahead of Ryan Briscoe with 35 minutes to go. Clearly, Jeremy, on pace, that can't be made up. But unless something extraordinary happens at the front of the field, Cadillac aren't going to win the manufacturer's title. But they have it within their grasp as Cadillac to win the Drivers' Championship if they park the 5 and the 31 for 3 laps.
Yes, and that's, we talked about that, didn't we, earlier on?
Yeah, as a hypothetical. You know, it didn't need to happen at that time, but it does now if they're going to take something out of this season.
Yeah, and yeah, as I said then, I think it's definitely something they're gonna think about doing, because your manufacturer's championship is important, and as is the driver's championship. So, you know, there's a lot of things going through the mind for Wade Taylor, kind of a tricky decision. In some ways, but of course not in others. You know, he's got fingers in both pies here, with moving to Acura next season, and his son winning the championship. So, it's an intriguing prospect.
It's, you know, we've often said about motorsport here being a team game. There's a couple of teams in there for which there is no love lost between them. However. They wouldn't be benefiting each other at that point. It would be benefiting Cadillac. And as far as we know, both the teams I'm talking about, which is Whelen and the Mustang Sampling, will be Cadillac teams next year.
Well, one of them for sure will be. The other one, we don't know anything about their plans, to put it completely bluntly. I can tell you right now, I'm about a football field away from the pit lane, and I can feel the tension from here. it's bad down there right now, and I've got a lot of spies down in the pit lane, and thank you to all of you for relaying this information back and forth. But there are more people not willing to move out of the way than who are willing. There are people down there who feel that if you want to win a championship, you need to earn it. You need to do it over the course of every race, not just one race. So there is a lot of tension down in that pit lane, because even if one car is willing to help, the 10 car does need to get into that fifth position to ensure that it has one more point than the Acura Team Penske entry of the number 7 of Ricky Taylor and Elio Castroneves. It is a very toxic place right now, John.
Yeah, very interesting. It's 3 laps, so it's 6 minutes, and the further you get into the race, of course, the other thing is you've got to get those two Cadillacs back out in front of the number 7 car, but you've got a lap or so in between Ryan Briscoe and Ricky Taylor right now. You've got to start thinking about doing that sooner rather or later, Jeremy, if you're going to do it, because the further you get into the race, the more difficult it is to do, the less time you have to do it. And of course, a safety car at any stage could completely mess your plan up.
Yeah, you know, it's intriguing, isn't it? It really is, because the good news for the number 10 team is they do have a lap on the number 7. But the cars ahead of them, they've all got to lose several laps, which is sort of difficult to orchestrate. And as you say, we're just over half an hour remaining in this race now, and the longer you leave it, certainly the more obvious it is. But you know, it's, you want to make that decision. You know, there's a lot of emotions at play there for all the different team owners involved. You know, they still want to get the best finish they can. Their team, they don't want to give up anything. You know, at least they wouldn't be asked to, they're not being asked to give away a win here,
or even a podium.
No. That's right, they're outside of the top three, and the best of the Cadillacs is third. Yeah, it's Mazda, Acura, Cadillac, but as we say, that's good enough. Whichever of the, in terms of the manufacturers' championship, the Acura is still probably going to come out ahead. So for Cadillac, though, they still do have an opportunity here to engineer a drivers' championship, and you know, the Cadillac top brass will be absolutely all for that, of course.
In fact, you've actually got 4 Cadillacs from 4th down to 7th, that number 10 car, and if you could put 3 of those,
it's the obvious thing to do.
Yeah, if you could put 3 of those between the number 10 car and number 7 car, then it is driver's championship for Ryan Briscoe and Renger van der Zande. And for those guys, it is important for those guys, because neither of those guys at the moment have got a full-time drive for next year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is important. You're always driving for your future. You're only as good as your last race. And if you come over with the championship, even if you're not going to win this race, it's massively important for those drivers. I just as long as there's nothing silly happens out on the racetrack, because we always see some pretty daft moves out there today. So at least, you know, if they do something in terms of pit stops or slowing down or whatever it is, You know, I don't have any problem with that. I think, you know, as you said earlier on, John, it's a team game. It's a team sport. And the Cadillacs are all on the same side.
Steph Neff says, right, you're talking about that at the moment, but who wins the GPI Championship if the finishes they are right now? It's very simple, Steph. At the moment, the third place from the number six Acura gives them the Manufacturer Championship. So the two Mazdas first and second, Acura Team Penske third. That would give them the Manufacturer Championship. And even in seventh position for the number seven Acura, with the number 10 Conyngham and Alder only one place ahead of them, they would win by a point as it stands at the moment. That's why we're talking about maybe moving some of those Cadillacs back towards them and letting that number 10 go through. I think what may have been being talked about was whether Wayne Taylor, Jeremy, wants to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's kind of yes, and that's tricky for him because you know, he's going to be driving. We talked about earlier in the weekend. Who's that going off the road? That's number 77 car.
That's the leader off the road. The road, off the road on the far side of the circuit at turn 13. He's back on there. He had over a half a minute lead back to his teammate, but Jarvis in trouble out in the darkness. And he's got
no,
it back.
No, not.
He's not right. That car's not right. I don't think it's tracking straight, Jeremy. Now,
passed by a GTD car, so he's not up to speed at all.
No. Oh, this is absolute disaster for Mazda.
Car just snapped.
It's a rear braking issue or something. Maybe a puncture on the left rear because there
Didn't
was something.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry, John.
No, it's all right, Jeremy.
Didn't they have brake problems? Was that the last race or fairly recently they had brake problems, didn't they? I seem to recall. I'm not really a very good memory for things like that.
Road Atlanta endurance races, both of them, Jeremy, the 6-hour and Petit Le Mans.
Thank you, Shane. I knew somebody
Welcome.
Could remember.
Cruising. Cruising to a victory. It's a left rear puncture. I thought it was. It's a left rear puncture. I think that let go and that was causing the issue. So another left rear issue, we've seen a number of them as right in front of the 912 as well down the pit lane. So that is going to cost Ollie Jarvis, has cost Ollie Jarvis the lead. Tinknell goes through and there's only another 30 seconds before Dean Cameron comes through for Acura Team Penske. One tyre only. Oh, I never like to see that.
Full course yellow
is out. Full course yellow is out for the debris. Oh my goodness. It's all on again with under half an hour to go. So off at turn 10 with a tyre that was either going down or flat on the left rear. That's why he couldn't get it stopped. The front brakes were lit up red, but of course the car was unbalanced, so he didn't have all of the wheels on the ground, and he's just lost a lap. No, he hasn't. Sorry, that's a replay. My apologies. So he has got back out. 55 is going into the scene of the drama at turn 10. Dean Cameron, the 6, is just coming out and through the kink at turn 8, and the 77 is just going into turn 7. It will be a short yellow.
Yeah.
Short yellow.
Inside the final half an hour.
Yeah.
By 4 or 5 minutes. What a shame we needed to go yellow. I just don't like yellows at the end of the race. That's absolutely necessary. But look, in a dark racetrack, if there's a lot of debris out there, that certainly is a safety factor. So no question, this is the right call.
That is the longest green flag period of the race, Jeremy.
Yeah.
2 hours
Just
and
short of
52
three hours. Yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
And again, I think you'd find it hard to criticise that, as you say, with pieces of carbon fibre and tyre debris on the track. If he'd got that back without the tyre giving way, into 17, I think we'd probably have steered green. But as soon as the tyre exploded and started to take the bodywork off.
And this yellow, John, makes it more difficult now for the Cadillac team.
Yeah.
Because the time is running out and the top, it's going to be ticking. And if the number 10 team has got to make up six laps, hasn't it? I guess get four laps anyhow on the number five car if it's to move up ahead of the number five.
Does it need to be? I mean, it only needs to be ahead of the 31, doesn't it? Really, it needs to have two cars between itself and the seven.
Well, look, if they're tied on points, then the number 17 will win.
Got you. So it needs all three of the Cadillacs between it. Yeah. Okay. Ah. It all changes again.
Who would have thought it? Who would have thought there'd be a sting in the tail, huh? Anybody who's been paying attention is a sure answer.
Anyone who's watched an IMSA race in the last 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years, it's just been something else this year. Really, really interesting. Anybody who had any worries about fuel, of course, they've just disappeared. The pits will not open, however. So anybody who was hoping to come in, and let me just check about that and see if there's anybody who would have been making their last stop around now. I don't think so. 16, 19. No. Everybody's okay. Hardpoint is the car that's furthest into its run, and they've done 19 laps, which is fine. BMW 15 laps for Conor De Filippi. This will help him get to the end. I thought they might be a tiny bit tight, but I think that'll help them get to the end.
Yeah, except the fact they're going to have the Porsches on their tail.
Well, and that's a very good point, because Nick Tandy has got 5-lap younger tyres, and Earl Bamber has got 10-lap younger tyres than the BMW. Shit.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is what Jeremy just did. There's no helping Conor DeFilippi if Nick Tandy is on his tail, the three-time Sebring 12-hour winner. And for Earl Bamber, well, it doesn't really matter to him if the 912 or the 911 wins, because he's driven both. He would get the trophy anyway.
Yes, good point. That is a good point. I don't think this will take that long, if I'm honest.
Another guy that did not want to see this full course caution is Mario Farnbacher, because he's now going to be kind of vulnerable to anybody behind him.
Like Pierre Kaffer and Trent Hindman and Spencer Pumpelly, by any chance?
Yes, I think they're trapped behind a safety car, I believe. So I don't think they shouldn't be a lap behind. So I think they will get the wave around. Indeed, I think that's happening perhaps now.
The pass around is happening right now.
So they will be. So he'll now have Pierre Kaffer, probably Trent Hindman, Spencer Pumpelly, and probably Brian Sellers. I think on his tail at this restart, he's going to be right behind Mario Farnbacher, because that's very going to make things very dodgy for Mario Farnbacher. Remember what happened to him at Petit Le Mans?
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. We're blaming Dave Alcock for this, by the way. He was starting to talk about Mazda's first overall victory at Sebring. David, you just know. If Cadillac are going to do this wave bite, then after the full course yellow, Stephen Simpson, Sebastian Bourdais and Philippe Nasse just need to come into the pits and park up for 3 laps. And then as soon as the 10 car gets close, they start rolling exactly the same way as they were, and get out between them and Ricky Taylor. Taylor won't get the lap back because there will be no pits and nobody would pit anyway, because everybody's good to go at the end. So there will be a full lap. There is a full lap, should I say, between the Konica Minolta Cadillac and Ricky Taylor. Lights are still on the Corvette safety car. We're down underneath 20 minutes for the 2020 season. WWOJ 99.1 FM around the circuit in Central Florida, across North America on Sirius 202, XM 217, and around the world with our streaming audio with IMSA Radio on channel RS2. 24 hours a day, every day of the week, and every week of the year, there's IMSA content on RS2. Coming up to, in fact, just after 10 minutes before 10 in the evening in Central Florida. Don't forget, Monday, we'll be in sound and vision again on the Haggerty community pages for the 25th hour. Oh, goodness me, we've got plenty to discuss on that. Before that, it's Michelin Post Race Tech, hashtag Michelin PRT to at IMSA Radio. Lights are out. We'll go green at the end of this run. Tinknell, Cameron, Jarvis in a three-way battle for the lead. Then Simpson, Bourdais and Nazza, what do they do? Are they going to be given orders from their manufacturer, not their team? Well, well, well. 912 is stuck, by the way, behind a gaggle of cars, which is way back on the circuit. So that's not going to help Porsche. They're in behind David Enemar Hansen, and they're just about going to get onto the back of the train as we go back to green flag. Might give them a little bit of extra tyre temperature. Harry Tinknell comes back to the line. Under 18 minutes to go. Another green flag. Another run to the checker. Let's hope it's all green from here. And the 2020 season comes down to 17 minutes and 36 seconds at the green flag at the Sebring. 12 hours of Sebring. At the Mobil 1, 12 hours of Sebring. And a good start by Harry Tinknell has seen him at least pull out a wee bit of breathing room to the Acura in second. But then the battle's on. Ollie Jarvis, redemption for the 77, potentially after that puncture. And off has gone the 63 car. That's the leader in GTD. Out of turn one into turn two. A schmozzle from the GT cars, which of course are all mixed in. And there was contact there, was there? Oh, it was very tight indeed with the GT Le Mans cars. And oh yeah, there was contact. That was the 74 car, Aschenbach, into the, I think, the BMW, the GT Le Mans BMW. And then he planted that perfectly, like a snooker plant or a billiards plant, onto the leader in class. So Aschenbach goes through into the lead, but must surely get a penalty for incident responsibility. And that was two leaders with one shot for Lawson Aschenbach. High value trick shot in billiards, not so good on the racetrack. Jeremy Shaw.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at, I didn't see the replay very clearly, but
Class leaders out of this race. Right rear puncture for the 25 of Conor De Filippi. Nick Tandy inherits the lead with Earl Bamber in second for Porsche in their final run. Is this the fairy tale they were looking for? Guy Cosmo pits for Performance Tech before the end of the race. Aschenbach is in the pit lane. I think he's got damage. No, he did get a drive-through. Called very, very quickly. Very, very quickly by race control. Good job for them on that. Having said that, two class leaders with one move. Goodness me. And that puts Pat Long in the lead of the race with Roman Angelus, who's got past Mario Farnbacher for Aston Martin. But Farnbacher with that goes up into third. Is that enough for the championship?
Yes. He's got a 7-point edge over Patrick Long. So if he can finish within a couple of positions of him, that should be good enough.
It's not all over yet, though.
Gracious.
Now, who's next back up? Pierre Caffer, I think, was in a separate group of cars, so he might be a bit further back and might not be able to influence this. Lawson Aschenbach is out and will have his dander very well and truly up and wanting to get back onto the pit lane, onto the podium, as will Jeff Westphal, of course. He's only 4 seconds behind Mario Farnbacher. Ferrari has been quick, and Jeff Westphal will be fuming that he was bumped out of the lead.
That's very, very unlike a Lawson Aschenbach, isn't it? Because he's generally known as a pretty straight shooter, in my my estimation and my observation. So that was very unlike him. But did the GTLM car kind of pull in front of him? I didn't see it particularly clearly. Was he taken by surprise by the GTLM car?
No, I think he was trying to follow him through down the inside to turn three. Actually, Jeremy.
Yeah,
and because he was behind originally, he was behind the leader, and then pulled out to the left-hand side. This is the Lawson Aschenbach Riley I'm talking about here, Riley AMG. BMW was making his way through. That is the disadvantage, Jeremy. You've talked about it many times about mixing up the GTDs and the GT Le Mans after the safety car restart. There's a class split at the front of the field, but not anywhere else. And you have all kinds of cars mixed up in the line. Aschenbach's back in the pit lane, by the way. That may be then an issue for that car. So what a shame, because that was a great run. They're looking at the splitter on that car. Shea Adam with this VP Racing Fuel update. It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. A mechanic actually got down on his knees and looked up close at the hood and then waved his arms as if to say, nope, we're not going back out. It's going to be a retirement with just on 12 and a half minutes left in the race.
And with only 12 and a half minutes in the race, John, I think it's probably too late now for Cadillac to do anything to help the number 10 car move up. He's now, what, 4 laps behind the number 31 car and a number 5, and got maybe 6 laps to go, but they're going to have to do it pretty darn quickly.
I don't think they're going to, and I kind of respect them for that as well. I don't think I would have criticised them if they had done it, particularly given some of the circumstances that has been going on. Who's that through the pit lane? That was Conor De Filippi coming back out again. He'll hold on to the third position, I think, in GT Le Mans. I can see that both ways for Cadillac, Jeremy. But I think it is, it's a manufacturer, not a team. If they were team cars, I think it would be a far easier choice, and it would have happened. But as a manufacturer with independent teams, it's hard for you to say, oh, come on, we need to favour this team over you guys. Yeah, it's been a long, hard season. Particularly long, hard season this year. But I think as a manufacturer, that's probably a good decision. If the teams had got together themselves and talked about a different matter, but I don't think you can demand that of your customer teams, can you?
Agreed.
So Mazda first and third, but Ollie Jarvis having a cracking scrap with Dane Cameron. Now, what Dane can't afford to do is fight so hard that he ends up in the barrier or allows any issues so that he loses the position ahead of the hordes of Cadillacs in terms of the manufacturers. So Ollie Jarvis, I'm sure they'll have been on the phone to him saying, push like mad, because he's not going to fight you that hard. Third's fine for Acura Team Penske, but in the gravel or in the wall is absolutely not.
That's exactly right. If you can't win the race, you know, second or third really doesn't matter, does it, to Acura Team Penske? It's the final race for that team in its current guise in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. It was looking good for a win for an awful long time in this race, but it's almost sitting now, well, it's a long shot for this stage now with less than 10 minutes remaining in this motor race. So you're absolutely right. He's got the primary concern now for Dane Cameron is to make sure that he doesn't end up off the road.
I do have one question. You don't have to be running. This is not Le Mans, so you don't have to be running. I have a question. I'm fairly certain I know the answer to this, but I should vocalise this. That's what I want to do. You don't have to be running at the end of the race to get your points. So actually, Ricky Taylor could pull the car in now and polish it up in the pit lane and get his feet up and start celebrating.
Correct. And to be perfectly honest, when cars are disqualified, they're moved to the back of the class. So if you start the race, if you cross the start-finish line, you are automatically guaranteed a minimum of last place points, which is what we saw play out at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca 2 years ago, when two cars did cross the start-finish line and then retired due to severe damage, but one car didn't even make the start-finish line and therefore didn't gain any points.
Yeah, Joao Barbosa, wasn't it? Who got the wrong side, literally was the wrong side of the line. You got to wonder if he'd known that, if he would have backed the car into first gear and struggled over the line. Wasn't a pretty bad shape. Yeah.
It wasn't moving, was it, car? Rightly.
Absolutely right. So many of you in Europe have stayed with this just after 3 a.m. in the morning. Under 10 minutes now. WWOJ 99.1, thank you for your airwaves this weekend. Sirius 202, XM 217, thank you for your airwaves for the whole season and for the last few seasons as well. Michelin Post Race Tech to come. Hashtag Michelin PRT at IMSA Radio. Harry Tinknell, 8 seconds to the good. Ollie Jarvis, half a second away from making it a 1-2 in the last race that we will see two Mazdas racing in IMSA. They go down to one car next year. At the front of GTD Daytona, Pat Long and Wright Motorsports have picked their way through the GTD carnage in some respects. And yet we have still got seven cars on the lead lap in GTD. Quite remarkably. It looks like Porsche are going to sign off with a first and a second in GT Le Mans, and Nick Tandy, Fred McAvecky and Earl Bamber will stand on the top step, while Earl Bamber, Lawrence Vanto and Neil Janney would stand on the second. Is that 1 foot on either step for Bamber? I suppose it has to be. I saw Bernd Schneider do that once. It was more difficult for him because he was second and third, so trying to stand with 1 foot on each of the steps meant he was sort of having to do an uncomfortable gymnastic manoeuvre whilst he was waiting to be handed his trophies. Although in fairness, he was he's still very flexible even at his age. Lead across the line, Tinknell still 8.8 seconds at the front of the field.
Yeah, for Oliver Jarvis, kind of frustrated, he's so close.
He's right there.
Just a tenth of a second behind him, right behind him. If not even alongside, but a tenth of a second. That is super close.
Yeah, that is the battle.
Number seven car still running in the eighth position. It's seven laps off the pace, but right now it's where it needs to be.
Goes under the walkover bridge down towards turn seven. That battle for second place, less than half a second now. Absolutely amazing. It was a tenth of a second. The six car, they're in a bit of traffic as well, actually. Because they have ahead of them Ryan Briscoe in the number 10 car, plus they've got the 85 of Stephen Simpson. So there's a couple of Cadillacs there right in front of the number 6 Acura, which at the moment is winning the championship for manufacturers in DPI for the Acura brand. Unfortunately for Stephen Simpson, and indeed for Cadillac, there's nobody near. Stephen Simpson's nearly a full lap away from that number 6 car. He's just ahead of him. But effectively 3 3/4 miles behind in terms of the timing and scoring. Another lap completed for the Salt Red Crystal number 55. Mazda's colour the colour of Mazda Sport as well down through the years. That dark red almost looks inky black at times, and then the sun shines on it and it comes to life. 4.5 minutes to go, Jeremy.
Yep, and it's good. I'm not saying anything. Because, yeah, it's going to be, what, three more laps, I guess, for the leaders as they head off around here. Yeah, GTD, there's still only Pat Long leads by a couple of seconds. Actually, they've actually stretched out a little bit now, the GTD leader. So Patrick Long, I think, is pretty much under control. The Heart of Racing Aston Martin in second position is looking fairly comfortable at the moment, because Mario Farnbacher in third place, he doesn't want to press the issue. And the good news for Farnbacher is that Jeff Westfall is still 3 or 4 seconds behind, having been punted out of the lead shortly after that restart. So the number 60 car is leading. He came here with a 7-point advantage over number 16. If they stay as they are, that margin would be reduced by 5, not 7, which is what the number 16 car needs. So the number 16 car needs Jeff Westfall catch up pass.
Yeah, and he's matching the times at the moment, but he's not gaining. There's lots of traffic out there though, and prototypes coming through, many a slip, etc, etc. 3 minutes to go on the season, Michelin post race tech to come. 3 minutes to go on the 68th Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advanced Auto Parts. 3 minutes to go for Harry Tinknell and for Mazda with a 9-second lead.
So it will be two more laps.
In the four major endurance races that we have had this year, in GTD shape, there's been no clear dominant manufacturer.
No, kind of interesting. If it stays the way it is right now, Patrick Long, Porsche, and Wright Motorsport win at Sebring. It was Ferrari, Scuderia Corsa winning at Petit Le Mans. It was Acura and Meyer-Shank Racing winning at the 6 hours at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, and Paul Miller Racing and Lamborghini winning at the 24 Hours of Daytona. And I'm trying to remember the last time we had a season where four different manufacturers and four different teams won all of those major races. I don't think it's happened since the merger.
Well, that's...
either, Shay, I have to look that up. But look, even more remarkable, Porsche, that would be the sixth different manufacturer to win this season in GTD as well.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Really is good. Just by the way, to tidy up that last full course caution, Lawson Aschenbach did take the number 74 Riley AMG GT3 Mercedes behind the wall. So that car will drop down to ninth position, having been battling for the lead in GT Daytona. 3.75 miles of the historic Sebring International Raceway is what stands between Harry Tinknell, Mazda Motorsports, and the 55 team in taking this blue riband race and putting Mazda's name up on the pit building as an overall winner. This is the final lap, not only of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring for 2020, but of the season. A new year in 2021 will see a huge amount of change and moving towards more in 2023 with a new top class of motor racing to take over from the solid grounding and super entertainment that we've seen from this Daytona Prototype International category. And it looks like championships in manufacturers and drivers for Acura coming the way of Acura team Penske. Elio's first championship with the Penske organisation, and his last race for them here in IMSA. and Penske's last outing as well. Not without controversy, drama, not just here, but throughout the second half of this 2020 season. Take nothing away from the 55 crew. Mazda Motorsports, Multimatic, come through the final corner and at 11 and a half minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock in Central Florida, Mazda win Sebring and the Mobil 112 hours for 2020. Dane Cameron in second, just ahead by about a second of Ollie Jarvis for Mazda in third. Cameron then securing with the 16 the Manufacturers' Championship for Acura, and Ricky Taylor crosses the line in seventh position, and that will give the seven crew the Drivers' Championship. Ricky Taylor and Elio Castro Neves. Jeremy Shaw.
Brilliant race. Brilliant race. So it's a shame we had all those incidents towards the end. Perhaps it broke it up somewhat, but Mazda's been strong all day long. Yeah, they might have had some good fortune here, but they've also had some bad fortune, misfortune, because number 77 car was looking in control of proceedings until the late stages. They had that drama. There must have been a lot of heavily crossed fingers in that number 55 car towards the end of this race, but Mazda has really deserved this victory here today at Sebring, a tremendous motor race, and hats off also. You know, it's good to see that honours being shared. Number 7 car comes away with the championship. They've won more races than anybody else, so from that point of view, they certainly deserved it. And in the Michelin Endurance Cup also, the number 10 team comes away at least with that championship, so always not for nothing.
And crossing the line right now, waiting for Nick Tandy. Here he comes down the front straight, and Porsche sign off with a 1-2 in GT Le Mans. The two BMWs have already finished, but they won't be categorised on the lead lap. And Tandy pulls up on the hallowed concrete of the start-finish line and reprises his huge burnout that he did at Talladega in the Coca-Cola Porsche at the end of last year after the final race at Petit Le Mans. And Earl Bamber, not to be outdone, coming home in second, does exactly the same thing as the Porsche GT team. Sign off with a 1-2 sweep. In GT Daytona, it's another Porsche victory there, but Wright Motorsports will come up 2 points short of the championship. Heart of Racing and Roman De Angelis with Ian James and the rest of the team. Darren Turner drafted in there. They come second. That, I think, their best result for the Aston Martin Vantage 23 team. Mario Farnbacher brings home the Acura NSX number 86 for Mayer Shank Racing, as Mayer Shank sign off from GTD, and that's enough for them to take the championship. There's a lot of good news, good stories, and there'll be a lot of smiles, Jeremy, on all of the podiums this year.
Yeah, there will. It's been a tremendous season of racing all the way around, and that number 17, gosh, what a topsy-turvy year they have had. Just no luck at all the first three races. Finished last in the first two, and then one away from the end in the next one. But since then, you know, that has been the class of the field. They've had pole positions. The car's been fast. The drivers have done a really good job. They've had some luck on their side. But they've come away with the championship. You know, it's ironic that today they should finish as they did at the Rolex 24 at Daytona with an eighth place finish, but it's good enough. What went in between has been good enough for the championship.
Third consecutive Sebring 12-hour win for Nick Tandy and Fred McAveeke. That's something to sign off on as well. And that glorious flat six GT Le Mans engine, the 4.2 almost litre engine. We'll not hear that next year, so if you're trackside at the moment, listen to that and savour it. Stars and Stripes, thank you, livery. And a lap of honour for what has been a brilliant run for the Porsches down through the years. Big supporters of IMSA from the ALMS days onwards, and they will be missed for next year. Our thanks to WWOG 99.1 FM, to Sirius and XM 202 and 217. And, of course, to every one of our technicians at the track in Charlotte and, of course, in London. What a season. If you're on RS2, stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment or two after we've taken a breath as we have Michelin Post Race Tech at Michelin PRT, Acura Tech 2 Championships in DPI, it's Corvette in GTLM, and Mayershank Racing with Acura in GT Daytona. A quick mention as well for LMP2, PR1 Matheson Motorsport taking the victory here ahead of Tower and Performance Tech, Jeremy. Lovely run for the number 52 car.
Yeah, it has been a flawless run for them all day long. I don't think anything went wrong with that team. There was one drama
drive through
on,
yeah.
Patrick Kelly. Yeah, but other than that, they've been the class of the field. I mean, the other cars have been competitive. It was a good race in LMP2. You know, there was only a couple of laps between them at the end, despite the problems for that number 8 team. They did really well to come back from that to finish just two laps behind the Tower Motorsport by Starworks entry. So, yes, it has been a good race.
Two Porsches signing off with Immaculate Donuts on the far side of the track. Brittany Tandy is now breathing again after Nick, her husband, has taken the hat trick of victories. Stay tuned. We'll wrap all this up with your questions and points of view. Hashtag MichelinPRT. MichelinPRT at IMSA Radio. Michelin Post Race Tech follows right away.
This programme is a production of IMSA and Radio Show Limited. For more, visit RadioLeMans.com.